This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 16th, 2025. This is how we know God is light. Given by Director of Spiritual Formation and Congregational Care, Emily Laser.
Good morning, Connection fam. How are we feeling today? Feeling good? Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, thumbs up. That's good. Well, good morning. My name is Emily Laser, and I am so excited to be sharing the word with you today. And if you're here today for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. It's only week two in our series, so we can definitely catch you up. And if you're watching for the first time online, we're so glad you're tuning in today as well. So like I said, it's week two in our series. We are hanging out in the book of 1 John, and it is a great book to hang out in. And we are talking all about how we can know God. Last week, David gave us a great intro to the book, and he kind of dove right in asking a really hard question: who is God and how do we know? That's what we talked about last week. And the answer is so simple, yet pretty challenging at the same time. The answer to how we know God is Jesus. We know God through Jesus. And so for the next stop on our journey, we're going to be looking at one of the ways that John describes God as a light. God is light. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that metaphor, God being light? Okay, it's a pretty common New Testament metaphor, Old Testament metaphor too. So we're going to be digging into that today. And our main scripture is going to be 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. So let's check that out today. John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So, what does that mean? God is light. And take it a step further, how do we walk in that? How is God light, and how do we walk in the light as he is in the light? That's what we're gonna discover together this morning. But before we break that down, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us here. God, we're all here for a reason. None of us are here this morning or watching online by accident. And so I pray that you would speak directly to our hearts. Open our minds, open our ears, as we just hear and learn from your word this morning. Amen. So we're going to be spending a lot of time in a couple different verses where it talks about God is light. And so I think in order for us to understand God is light, we got to look at what God is not. Darkness. If we're going to talk about light, we're going to talk about darkness. And so I want you, if it helps to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. But I want you to think about a time in your life when you were really in the dark. Think about that. A time in your life when you were really in the dark. For me, time that comes to mind is when someone had the bright idea to take 15 teenagers caving underground for fun. I thought that sounded like a great idea. It was during one of our summer missions trips at our previous church, and I had just taken a bunch of teenagers. We had been on this missions trip. They'd been working really hard, inner city Harrisburg and some rural places surrounding that. And so we wanted to do a fun experience at the end of the hard week, right? And so why not go caving? And so we planned this trip to come as just like a fun day. And I think, if I'm being honest, I was much more excited for it than they were. We were driving, and I'm like, guys, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be so much fun. So we get to the park where we're headed to do this, and we put on our helmets, we get our flashlights, we're all ready to go. We did have caving experts with us. This was not just Emily leading the way. That would have ended very poorly. But our cave experts, our guides, they went over all the rules. They kind of gave us an idea of what to expect. And then we walked into the woods to get to this cave. And the cave, the way you got into it, was under the highway through this tunnel, We've got a pit covet. That's how you got into this cave. People out there are like, nuh-uh, I would not do that. You had to actually crawl on your hands and knees through that tunnel all the way, there's the entrance, to get into the cave. It was like, I don't know, I signed up for extreme spelunking, but that's what it was. And so we went all in, and we turned on our lights, and we crawled through that tunnel, really long way to get all the way through. And I'll be honest, being the very prepared chaperone that I was, the only flashlight I had was my cell phone light. So it was not a great idea, but hey, you know, it worked. So we're crawling through this cave, and as we crawl and get into the entrance of the cave, it gets narrower, believe it or not, and colder. And in some places, it was barely enough to just like squeeze through and maneuver through some of these hard places. Additionally, in some places, we were like knee to thigh deep in cold, muddy water. It was real fun. And so with only our flashlights, or in my case, a cell phone flashlight, to guide our way, it got dark very quickly. I'm sure you can imagine. And so as we crawled and maneuvered and climbed over things that I'm very glad I couldn't see, we got into one of these larger, they called it like a room of the cave. And so our cave guide said, everybody kind of like find a place to settle in, find a place, take a seat. So we all come into this room of this cave, and he instructs us one by one to turn off our lights. I'm not lying when I tell you that was so dark. That was the darkest dark I have ever experienced. You know, like when you either enter a dark space or the lights go off and it takes your eyes a while to like adjust, and then finally you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of make out. No. There was no adjusting of your eyes. In this darkness, it was like pitch black. And I even put my hand like right in front of my face, couldn't see it. There was no light escaping in from anywhere. I mean, I don't know how far down we were, I don't know how far out we were, but there was no light whatsoever, just black. It was really dark, and we sat there for a few moments, and it was a little bit frightening. And maybe you've had a similar experience. Maybe you thought about a time in your life that was physically really, really dark like that. Or maybe when I asked the question, when is the time in your life when you were in the dark, you went more metaphorical, like a time where you had no idea what was going on or what was happening. But whatever type of darkness you thought about when I asked that question, any type of darkness can be terrifying, right? How does it feel to be in the dark? What kinds of thoughts, questions go through your mind? When you're in the dark, how does it feel? What do you sense? What does it feel like? Google tells us that 1 in 3 adults admit to being afraid of the dark. I think the key word there is admit, because I'm pretty sure a lot of us are afraid of the dark. Why? Why are we afraid of the dark? Well, I asked my 8-year-old, my husband and I have 4 kiddos, and so I asked my 8-year-old why he's afraid of the dark, and he said, well, yeah, Mom, because it's fear of the unknown, and I don't know what's out there. Simply put, right? I think we can agree. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is also the opposite of light. And when we can't see in the dark and our mind tends to wander about what's out there, it can be really terrifying to think about what is lurking. What is that unknown thing around the corner that I don't know what's coming at me? And so darkness in the Bible, you can find darkness mentioned in the Bible. I didn't Google how many times, but a lot of times in both the Old and the New Testament. And sometimes when the Bible mentions darkness, it literally is referring to absence of light, darkness. However, there's other times in the Bible where this concept of darkness is used for things like evil or sin or ignorance, lack of knowledge. We also see that darkness can be defined in the Bible as separation from God. And I think it's really neat that when we find different types of darkness in the Bible, that we can go through and kind of look at them all and dissect them and see what we can learn when we compare them. So we're going to do that today with just three quick verses because I want to show you something really neat. And so how about we start at the beginning? Anybody remember Genesis 1? Right? In the very beginning where God separates light and the darkness, Genesis 4:1 says, "And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." Or, I bet you've heard this verse before. It's a very well-known scripture we say a lot. We read it a lot at Christmas time. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." From Isaiah 9:2. Or the one we looked at today. John brings it all together. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. We could keep going. We could pick out a couple more verses. But it's really interesting, just looking at those three verses, we can see something pretty significantly that they have in common. Maybe you caught it. Darkness and light cannot exist together. It doesn't work that way. God separates them. When light enters, darkness flees. Darkness and light cannot exist together. And so if God is light, like John tells us, then there's no darkness in him. When we were sitting in that cave for those moments that honestly felt like eternity, right? In the dark, in the quiet, it felt really, really dark. And it was actually very, very dark. But then our cave guide did something. And we had done this experience through a Christian camp. And so I was really glad that he went there. What he did is he took out a candle, a very small, like, candlestick candle, like a taper candle, and he struck his match and he lit it. And the second that flame hit the wick, the whole cave, light flooded. And I'm not talking like a big, giant, like, three-wick, good-smelling Yankee candle. Okay, I'm not talking a giant spotlight. I'm the tiniest little candle. He lit it, and the whole place erupted in light. It was honestly so fascinating to just see that one little flame in a once extremely dark place, and now all of a sudden you could see. It was so fascinating. And our guide went on to talk about this metaphor of God being the light and darkness and light, and it was really cool. And I think that's why I often think back to that moment, and I think back to that moment in the cave where it was so dark and that light came on, and I think it's a great representation of how powerful light can be. The ability and the power that light has to chase away that darkness. The second that match was lit, darkness was gone. John loves the light and dark metaphor. And if you dig through his gospel, you're going to find a whole bunch of similar references about God being the light and the light of the world and some other really cool scripture. But one that he brings up in his very first chapter, now this is the Gospel of John, not 1 John, written by the same guy. He says in John chapter 1, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that's verses 4 to 5. Darkness cannot overcome light. And so, what kind of power does darkness really have? Think about that. Craig Lounsborough is a Christian licensed clinical counselor, and I came across this, and this was like, whew, to me this week. Listen to this. "Darkness is the absence of light, and therefore is totally dependent on light remaining absent. As such, the darkness is terribly vulnerable as it possesses no means which to stop the light other than creating fear in us." That vulnerability that light possesses, because it can't do anything. It can't stop the light from coming, but it can create that fear that we have. And that fear that we create in that darkness is what's holding us back from the light. Darkness only has the power that we give it. And how many times do we allow ourselves to be held back by that fear? And that fear is the thing that we've created, and we just allow that fear to kind of immobilize us and keep us in the dark. And my friends, there's a very, very simple fix. When you're in the dark, what do? You turn on a light, right? If you're going into that dark back bedroom to look for something, do you just, you turn on a light. If you're going outside to let the dog out at night and you can't see, you take a light, right? Stepping into the light. John gives us the answer of what we need to do when we're in the dark. We need to step into the light. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the light. I want to be where God is. I don't want to be stuck in that darkness. I want to be in the light. What else does 1 John have to say about this? We're going to go back and look at that scripture that we read at the beginning. This is 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, now that we've got some more to think about around it. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So if we want to be with God, to be in that fellowship, communion with God, to be in that community with God, then we can't walk in darkness. If God is all things good and holy and righteous and pure, then we've got to get rid of that darkness to be with him. Because remember, darkness and light, they don't go together. And we've got to flee that darkness if we want to be with him. And it's like we can't have our cake and eat it too. We've got to choose, right? We've got to choose. Do I want to stay in this darkness or do I want to be with Jesus? Sometimes it's really hard. And John like really sticks it to us when he says right in there that if we try to kind of straddle that line, we are lying to ourselves. You know, like my cave story shows you, I have spent a majority of my ministry, early ministry days in youth ministry. I've done a lot with children and youth, and this topic, I feel like I have preached like a broken record to them time and time again about following Jesus, not just following Jesus, but truly following Jesus. If we're going to follow him, we've got to leave our old ways behind. We've got to step out of that darkness and into the light. And this is something I felt like I talked about all the time. And when we choose to follow Jesus, it changes us. We look different. We act different. We make choices differently. We hang out with different people. We surround ourselves with better friends. Is it because we are forced to do it? Is it because there's some legalistic requirement that we have to follow? No, because coming to Jesus truly changes us. It truly does. And others around us should be able to tell. Hey, You look different. You've got a better attitude. What's up, right? Hey, you're not talking the same way you used to. Hey, you're not hanging out at those same places. We should look different. I had one teenager in one of my previous youth groups. Loved him to death. He was a great kid. And I had him from his seventh grade year all the way up through he graduated. So I knew him really, really well. And every year we would do an annual youth retreat. So there's a plug for youth retreat, like go, it's so great. Youth retreat is awesome. But we would do a fall youth retreat and he would go every single year. And every single year on our last night of our event, he would meet me at the altar in tears. And he would say that he wanted to change, that he knew he had made wrong choices, that he wanted to let go and to follow God and he wanted what God wanted for him. And in that moment at the altar, that Saturday night, I believed him. Through his tears and his heart, I could tell he wanted Jesus. He wanted that in his life. And so we would pray, and he would have a great rest of the weekend, and I would follow up with him for a couple weeks, and he would be good. But Slowly, time would pass, and he'd start hanging out with those friends again. And he'd start making those choices he shouldn't make. He'd start those old habits that he told me he didn't want to do anymore. And this isn't me sharing his business with you, because ironically, after like the third time of having him that weekend at the altar, I said, dude, we've done this. We've done this over and over again. We have prayed this prayer over and over. And I would like really lean into him. And so it's something that he was aware of. He was aware of what he was doing. And we would talk about it year after year after year. Because you see, he was stuck in this cycle where he thought he was fleeing the darkness. And for a couple weeks, maybe he was. He thought he was fleeing, but that darkness was still in there. He hadn't quite let it go. And that's what 1 John is talking about when we lie to ourselves. If we don't let go of that darkness, we get stuck in the cycle of lying to ourselves. We think we're free, we think we're good, but we're not. Slowly, that darkness seeps in. We allow it to come back in there and to take control. What we really need to do is surrender. We need to let go and let God have that full control over our hearts and our lives. Because if we have that darkness within us, we can't truly have God within us. We can't be living for him or as he intended us to live if we're allowing that in there. We might want to be in the light, but we can't because we haven't fully let go of the darkness and we're stuck. Matthew's gospel puts it this way. I told you there's a lot of verses in the Bible about dark and light. Matthew says in 6:22-23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? John Wesley wrote a sermon on those very verses, a sermon he called On a Single Eye. And this is what he has to say about it. Ignorance of yourselves, ignorance of your real interest, ignorance of your relation to God will surround you with impenetrable clouds, with darkness that may be felt. And so as long as the eye of your soul rests upon any of these things, those will continue to surround your soul and cover it in darkness. We can't just want the light. I don't want us to leave here today and be like, okay, I know that I need to be in the light. I know that I want the light. We're not strong enough to just say we want it, and so then we're in it. We can't do that. We need help. And honestly, we've got to put some action into it. We can't just say, I want that. What are we going to do about it? And John gives us a way to do it in these verses this morning. He says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Did you catch that verb in there? What do we got to do? We got to walk. We got to take that first step. We can't just be in the darkness and say, wow, it looks really great over there. We have to take that step. We have to be in step with Jesus. And it's not a once and done thing. It's not a, okay, I'm on this side now. No, it is a daily surrender, a daily time, then you wake up and you say, today I choose the light, and we walk in step with Jesus. It has to be something that we do every day, making that choice. And what does it look like? How do we do it? How do we walk in the light? Some of you will remember my last message was when I was up here and I talked on silence and solitude. So now you know, silence is hard for me, dark is hard for me, right? But silence and solitude are a great place to start. Great place to start. Daily one-on-one time with Jesus. Just in his presence. And walking in the light can look like a variety of different things. Walking in the light looks like practicing faith and obedience, living a life of righteousness and truth, choosing to obey God's commandments even when it's hard. Walking in the light is not easy. Walking in the light is not, you know, unicorns and sprinkles. It's hard to stay in the light. Walking in the light looks like seeking God first, putting him first in all things, and allowing him to guide you and show you the purpose in life. Walking in the light looks like surrendering your will, your wants, your dreams, your desires, laying them down and being able to receive what God has for you. Walking in the light looks like being honest and vulnerable, and instead of hiding away your real self, sharing that, not just with God, but with other people. Sharing who you are with other people and having fellowship, growing with them. Because how does John end that verse 7 there? Did you catch what he said? We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Light brings fellowship with one another. You're in the light, I'm in the light, we're in the light together. It's good, it's a great place to be. And so the opposite, sin, isolates us. Sin makes us lonely. Sin makes us think, I'm the only one that struggles with this. I'm the only person that has it this bad. The more we realize how sinful we are, we can be more aware of the work that God is doing in us and in one another. And we can come together in that. John Schultz says it this way: if we allow the light of God to break through in us, we know that we cannot hide anything from him, and ultimately, we will have nothing to hide from one another. Walking in the light might not be easy, but the great news is that when we walk in the light, we're not alone. We're not alone in that light. We get to walk alongside one another. We get to pick each other up. We get to hold each other's hands. We get to surround one another in prayer and in tears and in laughter. That's what walking in the light together looks like. And that's one of the reasons why you hear a lot from people up on stage saying, join a small group. Go figure, right? Being in fellowship with one another is so, so important for our walk. It's game changer. And in our previous series on the ruthless elimination of hurry, we talked about that yoke that we carry and we bring to Jesus. And you know, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? There it is again. My small group, I have a small group at my house on Thursday nights, small group of great women, and we are just finishing a series by Jenny Allen. She's a great author. I encourage you to check her out. We are finishing her study called Find Your People. Really good stuff. And in it, she says that if you have a friendship that's draining you faster than it pours into you, that's not a friendship, that's a ministry opportunity. Get it? Right? Now, don't get me wrong. Ministering to other people is good. We should all be out there shining our light in those darkest places, right? We are commanded to make disciples of Jesus. It is a faithful thing to do to be out there with unbelievers. Don't get me wrong. If you don't have any unbelievers around you, that's also a problem, but a different problem. What we're talking about here this morning is that fellowship. You need other people around you. You need those good, solid Christian friendships. We need one another to walk in the light together. And then, like John says, then Jesus is going to purify, he's purifying all of us. He's working to make all of us holy. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, I was bad and now I'm good. Oh, I was in the dark and now I'm in the light. No, it's an ongoing process. It's ongoing. John says in chapter 2, that he is writing this letter, this whole book that he's written. He's writing 1 John so that we don't sin. And that's good. It's a good thing not to sin. But John knows human nature, and so he encourages us by adding that if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wherever you are on your faith journey, it's never too late to step into the light. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've prayed that prayer, it's never too late. I was just having a conversation with a guy last week. He's a junior in high school around here, and he's like, "But I try to invite my friends, but they tell me, like, man, if you knew what I've done, if you knew the kind of choices I've made, I wouldn't be welcome at your church." I told him, I said, "No, you tell him, you tell those friends, listen, I'm just figuring this out too. There's nothing that is so bad that God can't pull us into the light, that we can't take that step and say, I am ready for what God has for me." It's never too late. Never too late to turn from that darkness. Some of us are kind of just tiptoeing a little bit around it. Some of us maybe were, you know, kind of straddling the line, and we're mostly in the light, but every once in a while we kind of go check out what's in the dark because we're curious about what's happening over there. It's never too late. And just like I told him to tell his friends, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to take that step into the light. And you don't have to do it alone. Look at all of us in here. We're all in here trying to figure this thing out together. We're all on this journey together. And it's not an if, but a when we mess up. John says it right there. We've got Jesus. His sin, right? He covered our sins, not just for us, but the whole world. We've got Jesus. And Jesus isn't there to put shame or guilt or say, girl, you prayed that prayer last week. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus is there to love and to care for us and to hold us and to help us to just keep going one little step at a time, every day. So I want to encourage you that if you are feeling that tug in your heart, that pull right now, maybe it's a familiar tug that you felt time and time again and you're like, ugh. Maybe it's a tug for the first time. But if you're feeling that today, I want you to know that during our last song, these steps, they're going to be open and you can come forward and you can pray. You can say, hey, God, it's me again. I want the light. I want to step into the light. And starting today, I'm going to do my best to stay there. I'm going to do my best with the friends I have around me, with my daily surrender to you, to walk in the light as you are in the light. And I promise you, this is a promise, that if you come up here and you're praying, you're not going to be alone. Because somebody's going to see you up here. And they're going to come up and they're going to pray with you. Because you're never alone. Whatever you've got, it's not too big for Jesus. We're all here to encourage you and to walk in this light together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your love, your unending mercy, the fact that you see us and you know us and you love us just the same. God, help those of us who are feeling that tug in our hearts, that pull, that we would step into the light today. God, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. God, we don't want the darkness any longer. We don't want what that darkness has. We don't want what that darkness is for us, God. We want you, more of you, all of you, Jesus, in our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to take those first steps today, to step into the light, out of that darkness, so that we can be in step with you and your awesome plans that you have for us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.